That's Retrofandango. That's Retrofandango. When it's Android over iPhone, and you can keep your stupid amiibo and always bashing on Nintendo. But that's Retrofandango. That's Retrofandango. Thanks, Retrofandango. Well.
Hello. Welcome everyone to Retrofandango episode number 222.
Triple deuce.
It's like you know, when you're a kid and you're playing Star Wars and you are a stormtrooper and you see the kid playing Han Solo and you come up behind him and you go two, two, two.
Two, two. Is that a pew pew?
It's a joke.
Okay.
I would do that to my dad all the time, right? It's just like pew pew pew. And my dad would be like 4-4-4. Because he was a dad and he had dad jokes.
That's dad jokes.
Yeah.
Before they were dad jokes.
Yep. He was ahead of the curve on the dad jokes, mm-hmm. That's for sure. So, I'd like to apologize for last week. We were supposed to record last week, and I just plumb lost the track of time. So, sorry about that. But You were gracious enough to push it to this week. So, here we are recording this week.
I was gracious enough to go back to bed.
Yes. But you're awake now.
Somewhat.
So, yes. Well, part of the reason why I was so distracted, it's not really something I want to talk about too much, but I think I'm going to have to talk about it. I'm going to have to address it. This is the problem when you make your life part of a show or go on the social medias and announce things and say things and all that, because when things don't work out, now you have to go and explain why things didn't work out, or why aren't you doing the thing that you said you were going to do?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so the day before we were to record last week, I had to quit the trucking school.
What?
So I'm out, and it looks like I am not going to be a trucker.
What happened?
Unless I really try to. Well, I can give, you know what? I'll give you the short version of the story. Okay. And then you tell me if that is not enough and you want to hear the long version.
Well, long is this version, something that you want to share? You sound like you're a little.
It's fine. It's
a little
fine.
Close to the chest there.
No, no, no. It's just like, maybe I shouldn't have said anything in the first place. And then no one would know. And it would be, you know, it would be great that if no one knew that I attempted to do the trucking school and it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. So
did you run over a traffic cone?
No, nothing like that. It was nothing dramatic like that or anything like that. It's actually, I guess it's kind of like, if you think about those kind of stories, it's actually kind of a boring story. But quite simply, there's an exam that's coming up for, if you want to be a trucker, you have to go through this rigorous exam. There's been like so many accidents, highly publicized accidents and all that throughout, you know, the last few years, and tires flying off of trucks and hitting people and killing people, and that the government has gone really in and cracked down on who can, like, you have to pass this test in order to drive a truck. And it's, you know, it's not an easy test to pass. You're doing this test for, like, you do the road test, and then you do coupling and uncoupling. And then you have to show that you can inspect the truck before you take it out on the road. There's all these specific rules that you have to know. And basically this test was coming up within, I guess now it would have been like a week from now. And quite simply, I felt that the school was not giving me enough time to prepare for this test. The number of hours that I was getting hands-on in a truck was far and few. It just wasn't there. Like, I signed a contract with the school, and it said I was supposed to be in, you know, 8 hours a day. I'd be there 8 hours a day, and I was prepared to be there at 8 hours a day. So much so that I took the very first, I would take the very first shift in the morning. I'd be there at 6 a.m., you know, getting up at 5 a.m., leave the house by 5:30, be there at 6 a.m. every day. But the people who were training me, the, you know, the trainers and all that, they wouldn't be there at 6 a.m. Or they would, they'd be there and they'd be, you know, drinking coffees and stuff like that. And, you know, quarter after we get started and all that. So there was a couple of days, you know, where I'd come in and I'd only be in for 2 hours. I'd be there for 2 hours and they would, and I never knew what the schedule was and why I'd be there for 2 hours. I'd find out through the grapevine that I was being assessed and all this. It was just, so basically I felt like I wasn't going to be prepared to take this test because I just wasn't having enough hours. So basically there was one day where I went in and my instructor wasn't even there. Didn't even show up. They told me to just go home. And I said, and that was it. That was like the straw that broke the camel's back. And I said, that's it. I'm done with this. So I can either go to, you know, another school, or I could, there's other avenues that I could go to try to salvage this attempt to be a trucker, or I could just give up. So I'm not exactly 100% sure which way I want to go. I'm leaning towards giving up because that's what I do. That's the short version. If you want more details, we can go into it. I'm not sure how interesting it is, but
yeah. Well, that's up to you. I mean, I would say good on you for acknowledging that you didn't have enough time to prepare for this. I mean, it sounds like everything has become quite laxed, and I'm guessing it's not the Wesley Crusher test where the room exploded and you had to drag a guy out of there.
No.
And then they're like secretly observing you. It just sounds like people don't have their stuff together and they're just, you'll know enough.
Pretty much.
And then if you fail the test, then they're like, well, you know, you should have tried a little harder. You should have studied a little harder. Meanwhile, you're not given the opportunity.
Well, the more I explain this portion to people, the more I get that it sounds like a scam. So basically we're in this course for 6 weeks. You go take this test. Their success rate for people to pass this test is only 50%. Half the people pass, half the people fail, which is not, doesn't sound really good. Like it doesn't sound very good for the school if you're only getting a lot, but you know, like I'm thinking when they told me that, I'm thinking, okay, well maybe just a lot of people aren't taking this seriously, or I don't know why, but the more I'm at the school, I'm starting to realize that the longer they keep you there at the school, the more money they can make off of you. So basically, let's say I was to have taken my exam next week. So that would be in like the second week in July, or, you know, first week of July, second week of July, somewhere in there. If I failed, I would have to retake the test if I want my AZ lesson. The next possible time I'd be able to reschedule would be in September, sometime in September. So what are you going to do for 2, maybe 2.5 months, possibly 3 months before your next test? You're just going to sit around and wait to take the test? The last time you touched a truck was 3 months ago? No, you're going to go back to the school and you're going to get... more training. You're going to spend more time training.
Right, they have, take a few more classes, get a little more
they
time
have
the
tutors there, you know, tutors. That you can have one-on-one tutor. I'm like, gee, how much does that cost? I've seen other students going to take tutoring where they're just one-on-one with an instructor, and I'm like, yeah, this is starting to feel a little bit like I better stop this now before I go in any deeper than I'm already in.
I mean, money is always the answer to everything. When you figure out why are people doing it this way, why are people doing it that way, why do you do this, it's usually money. What up, Sauce? Yeah, I see your point.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of have the same reaction to the school system here, where, you know, kids go to school. They spend an awful long time there at school. The Japanese work. You want to answer questions?
Sauce is asking if there's no more trucking, and the answer is yes. I guess maybe I should have waited a little bit before dropping the bomb at the beginning, but yes. And the answer is somewhere within the first 10 minutes of this show.
Yeah, but I mean, they have the regular school day, but then there's an awful lot of kids that end up going to that those cram schools. I know they have them in the U.S. too, called Kumon. I don't know if they have them in Canada. But it's basically you go to school, you're there for the full day, and then you go to a private tutor afterwards that you're paying extra money for. And a lot of kids do it because they just can't pass the tests.
Right.
So it's like, is the school really preparing them enough? Is this just some way of, okay, we're going to funnel money into another business? I don't know if the government gets any of that. What I honestly believe is a lot of the kids just don't pay attention. They don't seem to take it as seriously.
Yeah.
And they need that extra help.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen those Kumon signs down south in southern Ontario. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what they were, but yeah. So I guess we do have them here, but.
Yeah, I guess it's, I don't know. In your case though, I mean, you're a lethal weapon driving that truck down the road. So if you don't feel prepared,
you could
wipe out an entire building.
There, Sarah says we have it. We have those.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah knows.
Hello, Sarah. I'm not sure if she's listening or not.
I guess she is. Yeah, she was planning on starting a new puzzle, so she might have thrown us on in the background while she.
I just did a puzzle, and I thought I should take a picture of it and do a caught me puzzling post.
Yeah, you have to. Do it. Oh.
Because my daughter destroyed the puzzle.
You always got to wait for a picture. You got to give yourself at least 5 minutes, you know, to feel the puzzle on the table when it's completed. Cause that's a good feeling. Mm-hmm. You just feel the jigsaw puzzle all done. And then you got to take a photo of it. Then you can tear it up. You can throw it out, do whatever you want with it.
Now she has her own rules.
I guess. How many pieces was it?
It was 550 pieces. We did it because she was sick for a week, so we had a puzzle set up.
So Sarah says she had private tutors for every year of high school math. So
I could have used that for math.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I still can. Try and do that Dungeons and Dragons stuff. My buddy Frank there. I can't even punch in the stuff in the calculator fast enough. He already has the answer. Jeez, man, I wish I had that superpower. Just add things in your head.
It's weird. You know, sometimes I see like on Instagram or something, there'll be those super fast edited videos that pop up, and there's like people doing math problems, and they're showing like, all you got to do is you take the numbers and you split them apart and you put something in here. And then it's like, wait, slow down.
Yep. Yeah.
I want to know the secrets.
Pretty much.
Hmm. I don't know. Well, I mean, your decision is pretty much 100%. Or are you still debating on, I mean, like if you went to a different school, some other route to go later on?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like probably 90% just like I the other thing I kind of learned is I'm might not be 100% like enjoying the whole trucking thing anyways. Okay. So another life-changing event that happened while this was happening is that Sarah got a job. She got a job working for another school up here in Sudbury. And so like we were talking about, okay, like we had done, you know, for almost a decade, where we were working opposite shifts. I would work in the evening. She would work during the day. Right. We'd only see each other on weekends, you know, for a long time. That's what we did. And me going back to trucking, now that she has this, you know, 9-to-5 job, we basically would be going back to that routine in a way. Mm-hmm. After a few years, I could basically have, you know, pick of whatever job I want. And what I did want to do is, you know, something local kind of thing, like just driving a fuel truck or something like that. And you could still be mm-hmm. home every night. But then, you know, we decided we're kind of like, well, why put ourselves through that for another, you know, 2 more years or whatever, when we don't really have to, we don't need to, mm-hmm. you know, maybe I could find, maybe I should look, try to do something else instead. So, part of the reason why I went in is because I felt like compelled to, like I had to in a way, mm-hmm. because Sarah was struggling to find something here. I think a lot of the places here in Sudbury were intimidated by her because she is from Southern Ontario, or, you know, she worked in Southern Ontario, and a lot of people.
You got a reputation out there.
I think it's more of an intimidation thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she knows a lot about the college system and how it operates in Southern Ontario, and things in Northern Ontario are a little more, well, they're just different, right? And I think there's like some lack of confidence on their side that they're doing what everything that they're supposed to. So you have this person from Southern Ontario who has loads of experience that actually like knows more than what you do, basically. Are you going to hire someone like that, or are you going to hire someone that you can just, you know, shape into your own mold kind of thing? That's so true. I think there was a little bit of that going on, because the person that did end up hiring her has worked in Southern Ontario before. So he's not intimidated by her at all, right? He knows the game or the whatever, what the score is as well. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's going to, I don't know. They're in the honeymoon stage right now. She hasn't actually started. She starts next, this coming Tuesday, because Monday's a holiday here in Canada. Canada Day. Happy Canada Day to all the Canadian listeners out there.
Happy Canada Day.
Yeah. But yeah, it seems like, you know, it seems like things are going to move along swimmingly there. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there you go. That's my big news. No longer trucking. Just on American Truck Simulator now. Back to American Truck Simulator.
Well, at least you have a new appreciation for that.
Well, I do. I do have a new appreciation for trucking. I can look at trucks now, and I can tell you exactly what kind of trucks they are and what they do and all that, and if they're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. I know to give them plenty of space. When they're out there, just give them space, give them room, because they, and don't stay beside them. Move along. July 3rd is not Canada Day, Rocket Sauce. July 1st is Canada Day, but July 1st is being a holiday or a Saturday. We move the day off, the holiday, over to.
Oh, that's nice. The Monday. Don't skimp you on that.
No, they do. They do the same in the States, right?
Haven't been there for a while.
I just had to get that day in before the 4th. I don't know. I think we had our day first. I'm pretty sure if you look in the history, we had our day first. So actually, you guys copied us, you know.
When was Canada founded?
Something I should know. I believe, if my memory serves, it's 1867.
Mm-hmm. Our number's lower.
But that's just when our country was founded. There, see, Sarah's mm-hmm. got 1867. Thank you, Sarah. But that's just when our country was founded. We were here as a British colony well before.
Right, that. You had invaded long before then.
We were in our natives, our indigenous people of Canada were invaded by French and British soldiers. Well before that.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Yeah, yeah. 1776. Way to go, USA. Yeah, you did.
We did it.
You did it. you wrote a piece of paper way back a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. Gosh, where do we go from here? We started in kind of a new Steam sales going on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot all about it, actually. I do need to check that out.
I usually try to look that up, and then this year it just showed up.
Well, it is supposed to be a good one from the what people on Facebook had been saying.
Yeah, it depends on what you're looking for.
Well, I follow.
You got, you know, several thousand games. And
on Facebook, I have I follow a Steam Deck. Even though I don't have a Steam Deck, I follow the Steam Deck people, and they were saying that this sale was pretty good.
Hmm.
Pretty good. Yeah. See, you told the British to take a hike, but you know, if you you should really look into the history of that. How crazy that whole U.S. Revolution really was, because there's a lot of misinformation in there, and you should really look. I think it's that Adam Ruins Everything guy. Watch his video on the American Revolution. It's very interesting. That whole Boston Tea, throwing the tea, and they don't want to be taxed and all that stuff. That was all just good old fashioned American propaganda. Should actually look at what really happened. It's good times. It's just so cute what you Americans believe. You're so self-centered. And, you know, it's just so cute. Like, oh yeah, we had a revolution and all that. Meanwhile, the British were like, okay, good, do your thing. We don't care.
They burnt down our White House. They set a blaze. Oh, we did. Yeah, Capitol.
Actually, that was
Canada. Canada helped out with that, didn't?
Yeah, we did. We said, yeah, but you know, like we went and burnt it down. And then we said, why are we doing this? Do we really want this mess? Nah, let's let them have it. I mean, they got all sorts. They're gonna have all sorts of problems with the slaves coming up. Let's just get out of here while we can. It's a good thing. Good thing. Mm-hmm. Yep.
What is 4th of July? Is that gonna be on Tuesday?
I guess so. No, it'd be on Tuesday. Yeah, that's right.
Tuesday for me. Yeah.
I'll
be at work.
That's what you get for moving to Japan.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
Yep. I have some show and tell. It's
please
very little show and tell, not much.
Uh-oh.
We've been going out on hikes lately. Did 3 days straight of hiking because the weather has finally gotten. Like we were in this terrible winter with tons and tons of snow. Mm-hmm. And then the spring came with floods. And then the summer came with fire and our air quality. Yeah. Sudbury was the fourth worst, had the fourth worst air pollution in the world for a few days. We were
really that bad. Fourth.
Yeah.
Worse than China with their constant sandstorms.
I don't know who was one. I don't know who was one and three, but we were number four. Number two was North Bay, which is about an hour and a half down the highway from us. I don't
is
know
that, who was much closer to the
yeah, they were,
blaze.
It's just where the smoke was going. So the fires were up in Quebec. In northern Quebec, and it was coming down towards us. So that was about a month where it was just awful. Apparently they have control over the some of the fires now. So although I see Sasa saying our air is killing us here in Houston, in Wisconsin. It was in Houston. Sorry. Yep. Anyways, so now that the air quality has gotten much better, we went out onto Manitoulin Island, which is a really nice scenic island on off the shores of Lake Huron. Mm-hmm. And it's good times. The nice thing about that island, and this is what people always say, like a lot of people own cottages and that there, and the reason why they love it there is because there are not as many bugs as there is on the mainland.
Hmm.
And I think it is because of the wind, right? There's always wind coming off the lakes and that. So
wind is good for, yeah, for keeping the bugs away.
So there are bugs, but not as many. So yeah, we went on the Cup and Saucer Trail. And that was good. You go all the way up like these this escarpment and that, and then you're up in the bluffs and you could see for miles and miles up there. But you go through this little town called Espanola on your way to the island and your way from the island. So on our way back, we stopped in at the Giant Tiger, which is a discount store. There's a whole bunch of them all over Canada. But we stopped in this one because you never know what you're going to find at the Giant mm-hmm. Tiger. So these are the two items that I found at the Giant Tiger. They have a bunch of, basically they're used DVDs, but they reseal them and kind of sell them off as new to you DVDs.
Vintage items?
I guess so. So the first DVD I found this cool Frankenstein 75th anniversary edition DVD.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that the original Boris Karloff?
Yeah, Boris Karloff.
Hey, that's neat looking. That looks like a book.
So I'll open it up here. I haven't opened either of these yet. I put
You're
a little
knife. Devalue in. Them.
I don't care. I do want to see that movie again. I did enjoy it.
It is good, except for the part where he walks around backwards. His introduction scene.
Well, isn't there something where he could only turn left in the Frankenstein suit or something?
I don't know. I never heard that. All I know is that, you know, they create the monster and then they're sitting down to dinner and then suddenly the door swings open. He's standing there backwards. He moonwalks in and then turns around and then there's like a couple of jump cuts to his eyes.
Oh.
Quite an awkward scene. The rest of the movie's great.
So already this is not turning out very well.
Uh-oh.
Because the trays are like not in there. They just fell out.
It's so just loose discs?
Yeah. Well, the trays are supposed to be.
Oh, the tray itself.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. Like it just fell out.
Wow.
Both of them. So I guess they need to be re-glued.
You could hot glue those in there.
Yeah.
Fine.
So disc two. That's a special edition disc. It looks like it's probably never been removed from the tray because it's in mint condition. But the movie itself, I don't know if the camera's going to pick this up. Can you see that little ring there?
I can't. No, not really.
Right there?
Oh, okay. I think I'm getting a little...
Yeah.
A little, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, a little disc burn.
Hopefully I can fix that. Oh, well, good thing that it was only $10. So.
Well, probably somebody bought it for their kid. They put it in. It was like, what is this 4x3 black and white nonsense? And yeah. Frisbeed it across the floor.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully that will be better. Okay. And the other thing I found. So if you might recall from a few episodes ago, I found a Burt Reynolds movie on VHS, Ooh. Best Friends.
Mm-hmm.
This was from a few episodes ago. And you remember, like, it had the PG sticker on it? And the guys were all like, oh, Chris Roberts wouldn't like that. And I'm like, who cares what Chris Roberts thinks? I want this movie. Anyways, this movie is, like, impossible to find on DVD or on Blu-ray or anything. So that's why I got the VHS. Turns out my VHS player is one of the things that got damaged in the move. I had a Ooh. Nice combo VHS DVD player that I actually got from my old job. They were just kind of throwing it out. And I was like, I'll take that. It's hardly been used. And I used it a few times. But when I went to take it to use it to watch this movie, it was all rattling inside. I'm like, that's not good. hopefully it's just superficial plastic that broke. Yeah. So I went to open it the other day, take all the screws out and open it, and a bunch of like plastic arms and stuff came falling
miscellaneous out. Parts. Yeah.
I'm like, this isn't good. So I took all the plastic bits out, shook it out, and then I plugged the machine in. For some reason, I had a VHS tape in there. I don't know what's on it. It was like a blank VHS tape. Mm-hmm. So I got that out easily enough. But you remember that Star Trek Seen It that I bought?
Oh, yeah.
The DVD was in the player. And it was rammed in there. It was like, it wasn't opening up or anything like that. I'm like, oh. Mm-hmm. So I actually had to take and like pry it open with my hands and have Sarah come and try to like pull the disc out. That was the only way we could get it to come out.
It's like saving a baby from the jaws of an alligator.
So I had to, so that's gone. Threw it out. Mm. Goodbye. So now I can't watch Best Friends. I don't have a VCR. What am I going to do? Oh, giant tiger. Well,
apparently, you're going to have to hit the yard sales until you find 3 or 4 or 5 VHS decks that you can stack up in the corner.
I could do that. Or I could just have the giant tiger in Espanola save me because the movie is on DVD here. This little corner. So this is a 4-film favorites. DVD collection, and somehow Best Friends is in this collection
because it's a cheap movie that nobody cares about, and
that's right.
They can just promote 4 films.
So there's good.
I have a couple of those 4-film collection discs. I like them.
So in this collection, we have Goodbye Girl, the good guy Neil Simons, with Jeff Daniels and Patricia Heaton.
Oh boy!
From TV's Everyone Loves Raymond. Then we have Tom Selleck and Her Alibi.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you guess what movie this is?
It appears to be somebody throwing their head back in laughter.
Yes.
Or possibly holding a microphone.
Yes. Well, let me just take the plastic wrap off here and let's get the mystery solved. So we have in here, so this stars...
I saw like big bushy hair. Is it this, Cher? Is it Moonstruck?
It is. That would be great if it was Moonstruck. It is. This is far worse than Moonstruck. This movie stars Billy Crystal
and
Deborah Winger from TV's, what's that show? Two Gay Guys and Megan Mullally. What's that show called? Will and Grace.
Will and Grace. Oh, okay. There you go. So, this is like was she the Grace or Grace's friend, the loudmouth?
No, that's Megan Mullally. Deborah Winger was the redhead. Oh, she doesn't seem to have redhead in here. Or maybe I'm thinking the wrong person. Who am I thinking of?
I'm not well versed in Will and Grace.
Well, anyways, the movie is Forget Paris.
Oh, okay.
The irony of Forget Paris movie. Is that everybody forgot Paris. Everyone forgets. Mm-hmm. This. Anyways, so in here, the security. I got to take the security tab off. Oh, that's Deborah Messing. See, I got my Deborahs mixed up. Who's Deborah Winger, Sarah? Deborah Messing. Deborah Winger. Deborah. And they're spelt differently, too.
Deborah Winger, American actress. She starred in films as an officer and a gentleman, Terms of Endearment, Urban Cowboy, Legal Eagles, Shadowlands, Black Widow. I don't know any of these movies.
I've
heard her name before, though.
Legal Eagles. Yeah, of course, Sarah knows her from Legal Eagles. What the heck? Urban Cowboy? Is that what you said?
Urban Cowboys on there.
Yeah, those are all movies I haven't seen. That's why I don't watch it. The singer of the band Winger, says Rocket Sauce. Yeah, no, I don't. I don't think so. Okay, so we got flippers in here. We got the flippers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was hoping they all be separate discs. So then
would you believe that I also have a four film favorites with a Burt Reynolds movie in it?
I don't believe you.
I'm going to have to go get it then.
Yeah, go get it.
I'll go get it.
All right. So everyone listening, I know you want to know badly that Best Friends with Burt Reynolds and Goldie Hawn. That's a great movie. It is the widescreen version I got here. It is by Norman Jewison, a Canadian director, who also directed some other good movies. I can't remember any of them right now, but I swear he has. Let's see. Norman Jewison directed. Norman Jewison. I know, this is great stuff. He was born in 1926. He's an old guy. He's 96, still alive. Wow, that's pretty good. What was his big movies? Moonstruck. Oh my God. Fiddler on the Roof. In the Heat of the Night. The Cincinnati Kid. Oh my goodness.
Okay, I couldn't find it. I got it. It just took me a while.
All right.
And I'm going to wager to say that mine is better than yours. Pound for pound. I do have. Okay, it's not actually the four film favorites banner. But I do have a classic comedy collection. Right here, you can see I've got Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh yeah,
Jerk.
Oh yeah,
Car Wash and Animal House.
Yeah, yeah, your collection blows this one out of the water. Although, oh, yeah. Her Alibi. God, well, okay. Are your movies in widescreen or are they in 4x3?
I believe they're all in widescreen. I have watched Car Wash on here, and I believe it was in widescreen.
Okay.
I do have The Jerk on Blu-ray, so I didn't really need that. Smokey and the Bandit, I do enjoy, and Animal House. I need to watch again because I remember being slightly let down by that. I think I was just expecting more.
That movie has been hyped up quite a bit over the years.
Well, it's regarded as a classic. These are all anamorphic widescreen. And the discs still have some character to them. They're not the simple text. You know, there's some color on there. You know. I hate when the DVDs just get so simple and it's just black text on DVD. I also, in a four film collection, I do have the first four Friday the 13th.
Well, that's pretty cool.
One of these. And this one is kind of a generic-y kind of DVD. That's you know.
Yeah.
And not a four film, but I did pick this up last time I was in the U.S. It's a two film. You would like it. The Fletch Collection.
Nice. Fletch and Fletch Lives.
Yeah.
Now it can have Confess Fletch in it.
Confess with, Fletch? Is with, that a real movie?
Yeah, with John Hamm. I talked about that movie, didn't I? They made another Fletch movie.
Oh, but not Chevy Chase.
It's not Chevy Chase. It's John Hamm playing Fletch. You know who John Hamm is, right? From Mad Men?
No, I've never seen Mad Men.
Okay. Well, John Hamm is an actor. He was the lead in a series called Mad Men, and he was actually quite good in that show. He's usually more of a serious dramatic actor, so this was kind of... But he does a lot of cameo comedy things. Like, he'll just show up. Mm-hmm. He's always game for a lot of things, right? Like, he'll just show up in, like, a movie or something. It's John Hamm, and he'll be there for 2 seconds. Anyways, I watched that movie. I think it was around Christmas time. I watched it, and it was very faithful to the book. So that was a plus, because the Chevy Chase films were not, did not follow, like, especially the second movie. The second movie did not follow any of the books at
second
all.
Second movie was an odd duck to me. I was not expecting that.
It's definitely out there. Now, we talk a lot about movies that they can't make today. I don't know if they could make Fletch Lives today.
Yeah, I was not expecting, I was not expecting what I got.
Not that anything in Fletch Lives is mean-spirited, but the fact
But it's dancing in dangerous territory.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Fletch Lives, he goes to this the Carolinas. He goes to
an old plantation.
Yeah, an old plantation that's left to him, I think, by some family member or something.
Right.
And it turns out that there's a lot of racists there at this plantation that are in the
right. Group. And you got Cleavon Little working there as his house servant.
Yeah.
And at one point he instructs him to pick a bale of cotton.
Yes. Not seriously, though. It was not.
No.
But that's what I mean. Like, nothing in the movie is mean spirited. It just, we had this discussion on
it. It was a different sense of humor.
Yeah.
That just don't fly today.
I was talking about this with some friends, because apparently, like, Tropic Thunder, you know, the Tropic Thunder movie, right? With Robert Downey Jr. playing a black, well, he's a white guy in black makeup.
Yes. And apparently he's an actor who's taking his role too seriously.
Right. And that's the joke, right? Is that he takes his role so seriously that he's going to, you know.
Well, beyond seriously, the joke is that the actors are superficial, whiny, ego-driven crybabies. Yeah.
Right. So apparently, like, he's getting a lot of flack for that movie now, because he was in blackface, and that's it. Like, that's all that people see. They don't actually see that. It would be like being upset that Archie Bunker was the lead of a show and he was a racist guy. But the fact is that, like, that was the absurd part of him. That was the part that you laughed at.
Right.
And it's the same thing with this Robert Downey Jr. thing. Like, I can't say, like, if there's a black person out there that is upset by Robert Downey Jr.'s portrayal and finds it offensive. Okay, fine. Just don't watch it. Like, that's totally cool. If you don't like it, don't watch it. But to say that it needs to be banned, we need to, like, get rid of this from our, like, mean-spirited stuff, I get. I understand. Like, Eddie Murphy Delirious, that is some mean-spirited stuff towards gay people, right? Like, that is just, there's nothing, like, don't get me wrong. When I was a kid, I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. But watching it today, it's just really, really mean. Like, the only joke is that the people are gay, right? That's it. That's the only joke. There's no other nuance there, right? Whereas with what Robert Downey Jr. was doing was showing how absurd, but how serious actors take their roles in these movies is absurd. And that's what it was. It was just an exaggeration of that absurdity, that he would go to those lengths, kind of thing. And then even the full retard thing, like, you can't say the R word. Oh, I just did. But you can't say the R word. But he wasn't calling anyone, a retard. He was using.
Right. You gotta, I mean, if you are looking so superficially at what's going on and you're not looking at the deeper meaning or message, you're going to miss out. You're just going to latch on to a lot of that. And, you know, chances are there's a lot of people, thanks to social media, who just jump on that bandwagon. Somebody starts saying, hey, in Tropic Thunder, somebody was in blackface. People don't watch it. They don't check out to see what's actually going on, but they immediately jump on that cause without getting all the facts. So
it makes me wonder, because that kind of humor used to be on television all the time, like All in the Family, The Jeffersons, Sanford and Son. And was it the difference was the reason why they could do it? Because people were just simply paying attention and understanding? Like, or is it like just now people just don't pay attention? They're not actually listening. They just hear someone said the N-word in this show and now it's a bad show. We should ban it.
Yeah, I guess a lot of it is that people aren't paying attention because there's just so much information being thrown at you all the time. You don't have a chance to like research or, you know, understand things. Yeah. You just process, throw your comments out there, sign the petition, whatever. I don't know. I mean, there's plenty of wrong stuff going on that needs to be addressed, but I don't know. Yeah. How did we get onto this topic?
I don't know. I don't know. I've been wanting to mention how on my four disc collection, though, that the barcode has been scratched out. It shows you that this is definitely for the remainder bin.
Hmm.
So, like, yeah, they do that because basically this was in a store sold in like maybe a Walmart or something like that. It didn't sell. So then they put them off to the side and they tell the distributor, we cannot sell these. Do you want them back or do you want us to destroy them? So basically the distributor says, here, we'll give you your money back for whatever you had to put on your shelf or whatever thing. And it's a fraction of what it is, but it can't be resold, right? Because Walmart mm-hmm. could say that and then they could put it on the shelf, right? So in order to get that money, they have to destroy the copy. So that's what they do. And then they send it to a reseller like Giant Tiger, and the Giant Tiger is able to sell it. And then they put their own barcode on it and they don't want to scan that accidentally. And there you go. That's how that works. Good times. Hey.
Well, I'm glad you got your movie.
Anyways, yeah, I got a widescreen copy of Best Friends on DVD.
Maybe. And when will you be watching it?
Oh, I don't know. We've been really bad with movies lately. This week we watched one movie and it's not even worth talking about. It was some movie with, it had a bunch of great actors in it, British actors in it. What's her name? Dame Judi Dench, Bill Nighy, Tom Wilkinson was in it. I can't remember who else. Anyways, it was a movie called The Grand Hotel for Old People or something. It was okay.
Grand Hotel.
It was like The Beautiful Grand Hotel for Old People. It just had a big long title or something like that. And it was weird. It was one of those movies that you have this ensemble cast, a bunch of people, right? A bunch of really great mm-hmm. actors. And you want to watch them do something as an ensemble, but instead it just, we'll take these two people and we'll show what they do. And then we'll take this one person and show what they do. And then take these two people and show what they do. And it's all segregated. And it's like, I want to see them do something together. It's just one of those movies. And I don't know. It's just a lot of good actors in it, but I don't know. Sarah liked it a lot better than I did. I just thought it was kind of boring, to be honest. So there you go.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I watched a movie, three movies actually, that I know you enjoy, and yours had Dame Judi Dench. Mine had Dame Judith Anderson.
Who the heck is that? Dame Judith Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who that is.
She had a special cameo at the end of The Search for Spock. She was the Vulcan priestess
who didn't know she was a dame. She's
a dame. She got special screen credit.
Well, she was in the original series as well, right? Like she was.
Was she?
Yeah, when they, you know,
I think Dame Dench was in the original series.
No. That they got that actress. It's the same actress that was in the original series when they went to that one episode where they go to Vulcan and the, you know. He has to fake his death. That's right. That's right.
Hang on.
I'm pretty sure it's the same actor.
Judith Anderson, Star Trek.
Welcome to the Google show where
Richard. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I know things. I'm smart.
There you go. You. Very good. Very good. Yeah, I a few nights ago, I had movie night with my daughter, and I was like, "What do you want to watch?" So I turned her and said, "Here are all my movies, all my DVDs with Blu-rays. What do you want to watch?" Star Trek.
Nice.
Oh, cool. All right. What do you want to watch? Which one? I got all the Star Trek movies. You just pick whatever you want. And she said, I want to watch 3. And I had to say, no, you can't watch 3 because you've not yet seen 2. I can't do that to you.
Right.
I want to watch that. You know, we can skip the first one if you want, but you got to watch 2.
Yeah.
You know, there. And I was a little nervous, honestly, because she has really gotten into Star Trek, especially the original series. She hasn't shown any interest in Next Gen or DS9 or any of that. I'll catch her from time to time just on Netflix, just watching random episodes of Star Trek, which is great because I walk into the room and I'm like, all right, now I'm going to be sitting here for 48 minutes until this is over.
Yeah.
And she really, really, really likes Spock.
Ah, nice.
And so I was very nervous to show her Wrath of Khan because I wasn't sure if she was going to be a little upset.
Ooh, that's right.
To the ending.
I still tear up at that ending.
So, you know, we watched it and she was having a good time. And I don't know what her reaction was because she was sitting behind me. And as they say, when it got to that scene, the room got a bit dusty for me. Mm-hmm. So I had no idea what was going on behind me. But then, you know, we watched Search for Spock. We watched The Voyage Home. She got the whole trilogy of that story. She enjoyed herself. So I'm very glad. So now we got to go back. We got to watch the motion picture. We got to watch Final Frontier and Undiscovered Country. Although I think she may have seen The Undiscovered Country with me once before. I know I've watched it a few times.
Yeah, it's a good movie, so might as well just watch it.
It's good. I mean, yeah.
That's
but,
cool.
Yeah, that trilogy, I know we watched it years back for the show, but man, it holds up.
Yeah.
It holds up really well.
Yeah. Yeah, mine was Star Trek 4, so I had 2 and 3 spoiled for me. I had no idea, like, Spock had died. Mm-hmm. and Bones is like, so you died and came back. You got to tell me what that's like. That's good. Yeah.
I know you often say it's your favorite and everything. And I totally get it because it's a fantastic movie.
It's a good romp.
But it's amazing how it shows the strength of character. Because they don't have to do all the things that are like the cliche Star Trek things in that movie.
Yeah.
There's no space battle. There's no like phaser fights. It's just characters in a situation.
Well,
this is how they drew it.
Yeah. Well, and Nimoy, who directed that film, like he really wanted to have the actors do something other than the same thing that they had been doing for like 20 years at that point, right? Like shields up, Captain. Phasers are, you know, ready or whatever. You know, hailing frequencies open, Captain. Like they actually got to do, like even like Nichelle Nichols. She isn't. Oh no, that was 3. Sorry, that was 3 where she locks a guy in the closet. She's not in the movie for the most part. But you know, they all given something different to do, and that's what the actors really wanted. And so,
right.
I think that's part of the reason why I like that movie so much is because you could feel that energy from all the actors, right? Like they're really into their roles for the first time. And maybe Scotty is kind of doing the same thing, but you know, all the others are doing something different. I don't know. I just like it.
4 is the Save the Whales movie, but
you got to get over this. Well, it's a Save the Whales movie. Yeah. Who cares? It's a good movie. That doesn't mean it's bad.
Save the Whales. I mean, it really is the truest Star Trek, like heady Star Trek thing, where it's basically like humans are not necessarily the most important thing on the Earth. There are other things going on.
Exactly.
You know, it's and just figuring out. It's like, it's not about destroying the enemy. It's not about making peace. It's about just putting basic things back in place, you know, and acknowledging like, hey, yeah, we did do something pretty stupid there.
Yeah. It follows a lot of the same. It kind of has the same idea as the motion picture, right? Like a probe comes to Earth kind of thing, and it's going to wipe everything out unless the you know, the crew of the Enterprise puts a stop to it. But yeah, I don't know. That's a real Star Trek idea, you know, like it's trying to communicate. How can we figure it out? Let's put it's aimed at the oceans. Let's put the sound. What does it sound like underwater? This is whales. Yeah. We got to go back in time. Oh man. That's so.
I mean, yeah, there are plenty of parts of the movie where, you know, they kind of glance over a few things. Suddenly Sulu's just got a helicopter. They don't quite.
They don't, know, yeah,
explain it too well. And
well, he went and
they're
saw
like,
the guy.
Okay,
he went and saw,
yeah,
the guy.
And
it's
like,
yeah,
hey,
I
this
fly
is a
these.
Helicopter, huh?
Yeah, I fly these. So he,
apparently, there was a scene. There were a couple of scenes with Sulu that they meant to shoot, but for whatever reason, they couldn't. He was supposed to see like an old family member and realize that was like his great 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 grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
But they had a kid on set who was supposed to, you know, be that role, but the kid wouldn't stop crying and couldn't shoot the scene, and they didn't have anyone else, so they just had to skip it. And then him stealing the helicopter, he was supposed to jump in there, but he was all sore from running a marathon, so he couldn't like jump into the helicopter.
Oh.
And they tried shooting it different ways. It just didn't work, so he kind of got screwed out of a little more screen time.
Well, you know, to me, the pacing in that movie is spot on. So
it's well paced. It's just you have to brush over things like, we need to sneak into the hospital to get Chekhov. We're gonna have to look like doctors, and then suddenly they're just in doctor's robes. Like,
well,
what happened?
The transparent aluminum thing. That's the biggest thing. Like, why?
Well,
why wouldn't we have transparent aluminum right now?
Well, he did give him the formula, but not the process.
But they made it.
Maybe he didn't figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know. They still made some, though, enough to make a whale tank. So I'm not going to say it's a perfect movie, all right? A perfect movie is Ghostbusters. There's not too many other perfect movies out there.
Hey, it's Planet of the Tapes. Do you want to show him your tape with a sticker on it?
Oh, yeah. There you go. Chris Roberts, get ready to be upset. I got a VHS copy of Best Friends. And apparently, everyone would be upset with you, or you would be upset with me because I have a PG sticker, a Canadian PG sticker on it. And I say, I don't care.
I don't understand how that would cause upsetting.
I don't know.
He likes having stickers.
Apparently,
especially if they're from like classic stores and stuff.
Well, I think it's because it's a Canadian sticker. I think
that would devalue anything, sure.
See? Oh, that American bias once again.
I'm actually impressed that Rocket Sauce is familiar enough to know which is Star Trek 4 and which is Star Trek 3.
Yeah, I mean, is he a Star Trek fan? I don't know. He listens
to
us.
Let's keep talking about Star Trek, and
we'll talk about. Well, we'll talk about MASH next. I know he's a huge fan of that. By the way, we finished so I talked about that. We finished MASH. We're on to Family Ties. We're on season six now of Family Ties.
Oh, so you already got the Tom Hanks episode.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah. By the way, I forgot to mention those. Yeah, those Tom Hanks episodes, those were early. Those were season one and two.
Was he in more than one? I just remember the alcohol one.
He was in two, and I think the second one the alcohol one might have been a two-parter. But let me tell you, like, you could just the level of comedy that he was at was just far beyond anyone else at that time. Like, this is comedic instincts, right? Like, you could tell this was all these little things that he would add were all just him. Like, they weren't in the script, right? Like, he would come walking in to the set with a ball and glove, right? They just played catch with Jennifer, right? So you know, at some point, like, he has to get rid of the ball and glove to move on to the to move the scene on, right? But instead of like right. just putting it on the counter or something like that, he opens up the fridge and he puts it in the fridge. Mm. You know, and then they just carry that. Nobody says anything, and then right. they just carry on with the scene. You know, it was just little things like that that he would.
I love when people have that understanding that certain things should be in the foreground and certain things should be in the background. I mean, you see it a lot with the Zucker Brothers movies where there's, you know, something weird going on in the back and they don't draw attention to it. It's just yeah. if you notice it, you notice it.
Right.
Or one that always gets me is in the first National Lampoon's Vacation. When Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo, it's after dinner, they're talking about the trip and they're cleaning the dishes. And like they had just eaten dinner, there's leftover food on all the dishes. She's like wiping it off and he's just taking them and putting them in the cupboard.
Yeah.
And it's like nobody's saying anything. So it's clearly the joke is he's not paying attention.
Yeah.
And he's just, you know, they're supposed to go in the sink. He's putting them in there. Yeah. But I think it's the kind of thing that like nobody will notice. But it's so much funnier than if you just like got the close up. It's like, huh? Yeah. You know, it doesn't work.
Yeah. By the way, I just read.
It's what we were saying about social media and stuff before. People don't pay attention.
Right, right.
You know, focus.
By the way,
And I'm sorry, Rocket Sauce did watch 2, 3, and 4.
Oh, because of Fandango. While he retained it. That was a long time ago. So, and that the fact that you retained it was that's quite impressive. And shows you were paying attention. You were paying attention.
Did your homework.
Yeah, I just read a thing on Chevy Chase, and apparently Chevy Chase is like so he doesn't really do any movies or TV or anything, right? Like he'll do like a few little things here or there, but he's pretty much he's got a little bit of I won't say he's banned, but he's got like some problems. Like he used the N-word on the set of Community one time, and apparently like some of the other actors, basically, I guess he's canceled. I guess he's canceled a little bit. So his big money thing right now is to go to like Las Vegas or Sacramento or something like that. They'll air one of his movies and he'll just sit there and talk about the movies. Like people will just ask him questions about the movies. And his biggest month, his Super Bowl month apparently is December when they start showing Christmas Vacation. That's the biggest draw is Christmas Vacation. So you go to a thing, you watch Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase, and then you ask him a bunch of questions, and he has some stories about Christmas Vacation. Not a bad way to make a buck. I think that's pretty good.
If you can tolerate hearing the same questions over and over and over again, sure.
Yeah, I guess. Which, you know.
I know I didn't watch the whole thing, but I know he recently did Bill Maher's got like a podcast, Club Maher, something like that. Chevy Chase was recently on one of those.
Okay, well, that's good. I got to say, I stopped watching Bill Maher. I used to watch him every week, but he's kind of gotten a little too much lately. And
Bill Maher has always been a little too much for me. It's I can tolerate to a degree.
Yeah,
but he just always seems bitter about everything.
Yeah,
and he was just that vibe.
He was really fun during the Trump years because, you know, he had the him and Trump, like Trump hated him, right? He was going to sue him for $1 million at one point or something like that. And he was fun on how he would go on about Trump. But then the whole COVID thing happened and there was a lot of things, like a lot of issues that would come up and he would talk on them like as if he was an expert, but then he'd be wrong about certain things, and it just kind of like Bill, he comes off as a smart guy, but he just says some stupid things, and I don't know.
I'm sure he does.
Like I can't think of a specific example. There was something not too long ago where it's like, geez, you're supposed to be the smart guy, and like you can't even figure out like the simplest, you know, thing. I don't know. Anyways.
Well, I don't pretend to defend or any of these people.
Oh, look at this. We had Melissa here. Yeah, you missed a big announcement. You got to go to the first 10 minutes. It's not really a big announcement. I mean, it's big to me. I don't know if it's big to anyone else. It's just an announcement.
Hey, you know what was big to me?
Wait a minute. There was something we were talking about before we got sidetracked. Oh, well.
Star Trek?
Who cares?
Was it Star Trek?
No, it was a Star Trek.
Star Trek.
I had something. I was talking about it, and then I got sidetracked. Oh, well.
Oh.
It wasn't that important.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I
can't remember.
Okay. Well, let's see if you have any memory of this film. I finally watched Alien Covenant.
What the hell? Which one is that again? Is that the one where they go to the planet?
That's the after Prometheus one.
Yeah, they go to a planet and there's like a microbe on the planet and it infects them. And it's like, why would you go to a planet and take off your spacesuit?
They didn't even take off their spacesuits. They just didn't wear any.
They didn't wear any spacesuits, right?
They didn't wear any spacesuits.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense.
Prometheus, well, in the original Alien, the facehugger goes through the mask, right?
Yeah.
Right? In Prometheus, it was that black goo. And yes. I think it also, like, broke through the suit.
Right.
In this one, they just walk around like it's Star Trek.
Yeah.
And then the things just infect them.
Yeah.
You know? Genius. This movie, if you finished watching MASH, you might be familiar with the phrase horse hockey.
Yes.
That's what I felt from this movie. Some interesting things at different points, but overall, just like, why are all these stupid decisions being made? Why are the people acting the way they are?
Yeah.
Why? And
I think for that, like, I believe Sarah and I saw that in the theater.
Ooh.
And yeah, at some point I remember sitting there and just thinking, well, I'm just going to have to go with this and try to like enjoy it as like check your brain at the door. Cause that's what Alien is now. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not anything else than just check your brain at the door and try to have fun. And even at that level, I didn't have very much fun with it at all.
No.
And then like that, what's that actor's name? The guy who played, he's in Prometheus too. I can't remember his name.
The main guy, David?
Yeah, yeah.
Michael Fassbender. Magneto.
Right. Magneto, yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, I like him as Magneto enough, but in those movies, like, they put, like, a lot. It seems like as if, like, a lot hangs on his performance kind of thing.
And yeah, they kind of made him the center.
Yeah, and I don't find him able to carry, and for me anyways, like, to carry a film like that. Like, it just, I'm not interested in him.
Well, the way they set up his character, especially in this one, it's so, they make him like heady and deep and everything. Like he's got this going, but he's really very two dimensional. It's just, I'm going to experiment on you.
Yeah.
And make some aliens.
Yeah.
But I mean, just the sheer stupidity of the rest of the characters. Like there's one point where I think it was the captain of the ship. Finds out, okay, you just were responsible for the death of one of my crew. You know, one of your weird science experiments killed my crew, and I want you to tell me what's going on. He says, okay, follow me. And then they go into this dark room with the alien eggs, and he's just following them. And just like, oh, hey, look inside that egg. There's something cool in there. And then he's just like, oh, and then it's like, come on, he just killed one of your crew members. Why are you doing anything he says? For convenience sake, as they say with screenplays.
Yeah, exactly. Why does this happen? Because the screenplay says it has to happen. That's why. I remember what we were talking about. We were talking about Family Ties, and I wanted to
mention, yes.
So I was on season six. I'm on season six, or we just finished season six. And there's a weird thing that happens at the end of season six of Family Ties is that they revert back to an episode from season three, like an episode that they shot and recorded and produced and made in season three, but didn't air. So it airs at the end of season six.
Okay.
And then another episode that they shot and made and produced and all that, but didn't air in season four.
Uh-huh.
and they put it at the end of season six, a big two-parter. Mm-hmm. And it's just really weird because in that show, like, the kids progress with age, right? Like,
naturally. Yeah.
So it's like Jennifer, she's like, you know, 15 or 16 or whatever. And then all of a sudden she's 13 again, you know, the kid, the baby, the kid, like the kid was born in season three or four. Yeah. Season four, the kid is born as a toddler for all of season five. And then season six, he's like, you know, 5 or 6 years old. But anyways, it was just weird because then the kid's a toddler again and all that. And I remember when I was a kid and I would watch the show in syndication, I would get really angry at the television station that was airing it because I was convinced that they were airing it out of order. I'm like, you're airing the show out of order. I was ready. I was like, I think I might have even written a letter to the TV station, but I didn't. I didn't send it. I was just like, I watch Family Ties every day, and I, you know, I follow, trying to follow along with the story, and you're airing the episodes out of order. But it turns out that they weren't. That's how they aired the show back then. It was just really weird.
So it's just like Star Trek. You have the production order versus the air date order.
Yes.
From now on, you know, you have to watch season three, then jump to that one episode in season six, go back to season four, then hit the two-parter at season six.
So the funny thing is that on Family Ties, almost all of the kids who were in Goonies end up on the show and making a cameo role at some point.
Really?
Almost all the kids that were in Stand By Me make a cameo in there. Christina Applegate, very young Christina Applegate, is in Tina Yuther's band
At some point.
But so there is a Star Trek connection there, of course, because Will Wheaton was in Stand By Me. He's also in Star Trek, and he was on an episode of Family Ties. But there is another interesting connection with Family Ties and Star Trek. Family Ties and Star Trek. No, now I'm going to tell you. Main cast member tied to Star Trek.
Main cast member
of Family Ties ties right into Star Trek. A recurring role on Star Trek.
I have not seen Family Ties since like the 80s or 90s.
Right.
You got Michael J. Fox. You got Michael Gross.
Yep.
Meredith Baxter.
Yep.
Is the mother's name.
Yep.
Tina Yuthers.
Yep.
Justine Bateman.
Yep.
Is there another main cast member?
Well, there's
the little kid.
The little kid. Brian.
I don't know.
Brian Brock. Brosnell or something like that. Mm-hmm. The little kid, anyways.
So one of those characters, one of those actors.
Yeah. A recurring role on Star Trek The Next Generation. I'll even narrow it down. Next Generation.
Recurring role. Well, it's not Michael J. Fox.
I would
imagine it's not Michael Gross.
This is going to be very easy if you go through all
that. I don't know who had a reoccurring role.
So the little kid.
Okay.
Brian Brosnell or whatever, who plays Alex's younger brother, also plays.
Did he play Alexander?
He played Alexander.
Oh, he was son. Okay.
Yeah. Now, I don't think he's in the first episode. I think they changed actors or something, but he is known as the actor, like the Alexander actor, like he's the one who played him all the way through. He was the
main one, yeah.
Yeah, and then I think the character comes back in Deep Space Nine,
but it's a different actor.
That's a different actor, but through minus the first appearance, all the other appearances on Star Trek, it was Alex P. Keaton's younger brother, same actor. There you go.
Oh, okay.
Fun facts. See what you learned here?
Who'd have known underneath all that makeup?
We're going to quiz Rocket Sauce on that in 3 or 4 years and see if he remembers. He has a memory of an elephant. Said it right here.
See, I thought you were going to go the distant route of saying, well, Michael J. Fox also worked with Christopher Lloyd in Back to the Future.
No, that'd be lame. It was direct. No.
Which, another side point, I'm very proud of my daughter. After we watched the movie, she's like, that Klingon, was that Doc Brown? No, like, yes, good for you.
That's good. He was also Jim. Jim and Taxi. So there you go.
She doesn't know Jim.
Oh. Poor Jim.
But I tried to tell her, like, he was also Judge Doom in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That's right, yeah.
She was like, I don't remember that one. Nah.
Okay, well. All
right.
Also been watching Dukes of Hazzard, if anyone cares.
Hey.
I'm on season those 3.
Those Duke boys up to some trouble again.
So it's same thing every episode. Last night's episode, Charles Napier showed up. There's another Star Trek connection right there.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Charles Napier was the hippie in that one episode of the original series.
Oh, okay. Is that a season 3?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. Oh. So he's in.
I did watch something else that I know you like.
Okay.
First time in a long time, I watched The Maltese Falcon.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Fantastic movie.
Yes. I agree.
Fantastic. And share a little connection here. Look at this.
Oh, look at that.
Barcode been destroyed.
Remainder bin.
Mm.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good movie. Yeah, that's a movie that you watch once in a while and takes you right back in. Mm-hmm. Good times.
But if you want to experience some real cinema, I discovered a film. That I gotta say, I really, really enjoyed Showdown in Little Tokyo with Dolph Lundgren and Brandon Lee.
What?
This movie's fantastic. And
sure it is.
79 minutes.
Whoa. Well, there we go. We have a winner.
This is high quality.
Ding, ding, ding. Well,
I really enjoyed myself.
That's not connected to the Kurt Russell movie, right?
No, it has a similar title.
Okay.
Yeah. No, this is just a straight up, you know, cop story in Los Angeles, and these cops do not play by the rules.
Do they have a sergeant or lieutenant who chews them out? Yeah, is always up their ass because they're always into shenanigans.
Yes, there is that scene.
Does the mayor like, you know, chew on the lieutenant's ass and then he has to chew
I don't
on
think
their
they
asses?
Had a budget for a mayor.
Oh, okay.
But
that would have been too much.
No. It was pretty darn entertaining though.
So
1991.
What?
There is a young Tia Carrere in here before Wayne's World.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. So does Dolph Lundgren, does he have a drinking problem?
No. He's quite disciplined.
Oh, okay.
He's quite disciplined because he grew up in Japan, so he totally knows Japanese culture.
Oh, okay. So that's Steven Seagal's bit too. Or not?
Well, here's the big contradiction. You got Brandon Lee, who is the son of Bruce Lee, who is playing a Japanese American, but he doesn't know anything about his culture.
Of course he doesn't.
But then Dolph Lundgren, he grew up in Japan. He knows all about Japanese culture.
Listen,
so a little switcheroo.
Listen, the white guy.
That the Chinese American guy doesn't know anything about Japanese culture.
The white guy always knows more. That's the way it was in the 80s. Like, you could not sell a movie unless the white guy knew the most. That's just the way
it was.
And
he does wear some traditional-ish Japanese garb for the final fight scene. He gets all ready.
Uh-oh.
If you can find this film, I'd say you'd enjoy it.
I believe I've seen that film out and about, but I've never taken the plunge. on that. So I'm gonna have to
79 minutes.
Can't I wonder if it's on Tubi. It might be on Tubi. I don't know. By the way, YouTube apparently is going to be cracking down on people who have the ad block on their computer or whatever. They're going to find some way or whatever to like block YouTube from you if you have ad block on. If you have ad block on.
I mean, those ads are frustrating.
Oh, they're horrible.
Two of them now.
They're horrible. Or like you're watching something and it's just like right in the middle. Like the person will be saying something and then boom, you're watching an ad.
You're watching an ad. You got to wait. This one, you got to wait 10 seconds. And you got to wait for the little countdown thing.
Like, that, haven't they figured out that if you make things not as annoying, then people won't go out of their way to, you know, block the things? Like, just put ads on the site. Just leave the video, you know, alone and put ads on the site. You tell me you can't make money doing that? Give me a break. The thing that kills me are the ads on movie trailers, because a movie trailer is essentially an ad. So you got to sit through an ad to watch the ad. It makes no sense. Yep. There you go.
Hey, speaking of movies, are you going to go watch The Flash?
No, I'm so burnt out on comic book movies. Why would you? I just, well, and especially that character, all right, not The Flash, Flash itself, but the Flash in that DC universe. Like, I didn't like him in those movies. So why would I watch I like the Quicksilver in the X-Men movies. That guy was fun.
Oh, Rush. Yeah.
Rush. Well, I don't know. Whatever the heck he was. The guy who moved.
No. Times. He wore the Rush t-shirt. I thought you.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. That character.
I like that character. If they made a movie about that guy, I would watch that. But
yeah. I still have one more to see. I've been catching up on all those X-Men movies, but I haven't seen the
Apocalypse,
the Dark Phoenix. I think that was the last one
they did. That was terrible, man. Terrible.
Was it Bryan Singer again?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't remember. I just remember that one being such a letdown. Like they were really like, you know, diminishing returns there. I thought that second one, where they went back in time, like they sent Wolverine back in time. That one was great.
That one was okay. That one was all right. I know a lot of people have chosen that as their favorite. I still think X2 is the top.
Oh, yeah. If you're going to go that far back, X2 has a very effective ending. I don't know. I think I would say I like the whatever.
Days of Future Past.
Right. I'd say I'd like that one.
Apocalypse wasn't that bad either. I mean, it was not great.
It was okay. It
had its fun moments.
Yeah, I didn't mind that one at all. But that Dark Phoenix one was just, I can't remember what it is I didn't like about it, but it was a hard watch. I remember it was.
Someday I'll watch it.
Yeah. Well, then you'll be able to give us your report on it. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I think that's enough. I think we've said it all. Mm-hmm. I got nothing. I mean, it's just been, you know, assessing your life kind of thing, assessing what you're going to do. Not really fun stuff.
Yeah. Well, I got a question for you. Behind you, is that a shelf, a ladder, or a ladder shelf?
It's a ladder shelf.
It's a ladder shelf. Okay. I just see it on the edge of the frame there.
No, it's not. It's not a ladder. It's just it's a shelf. It's like an IKEA. I think it's meant for.
You lean it up against the wall.
No. It's just sitting there. It's sitting there. There's depth to that. It's just a regular shelf. Okay. It's just made out of pine wood. There's no ladder. Right. Yeah. Okay. No. There's like.
I was wondering if you had a little loft up there or something. That would be
I think it's because it's in front. So basically, I guess I didn't talk about this. I didn't mention this. But basically, like we had, so when we moved in, you know, everything was just kind of like, you got to, when you move in, you're just putting stuff away, right? Like you just want stuff away and all that. Nothing's like permanent. You're kind of like still trying to figure out where everything needs to be and how it needs to be and all that stuff. So we have a movie room, and then we have a music room, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the music room wasn't really getting, like, you put music on, and you'd have it play, like, where the stereo is, it plays throughout the entire house. But you didn't really spend too much time actually in the music room. Mm-hmm. And because the weather had been, like, the winter had been so bad, spring had been so bad, summer had been so bad weather-wise, that we were kind of like trying to figure out ways, like, what can we do to like exercise and get healthy and fitter than what we are in, like, in the house. And one of the things that we did in the past was we had the Kinect on the Xbox 360, and I had a game on there. It was like a Nike game. And it actually, like, you worked out along with this game. And we actually lost some weight while we were doing it. So I decided to take that music room and set it up in there. So I set up that, and I set up the Wii in there so we could play some good old-fashioned Wii again. Because there's room in there, right? There's lots of room. So the one thing with that Nike game is it was a bit of a pain in the ass because you'd have to move the couch around and all that. And there's just tons of room. So that shelf was in that room, and I kind of put it over here. And it's kind of like, it's in a temporary spot once again until I figure out what to do with all that stuff.
Okay.
But the funny thing is that I had an extra TV in the house. I had this big, I don't know, it was like 47-inch TV. It was the first flat screen TV that I bought way back in 2007. Okay. And we had
how do you have an extra 47-inch TV? All right, it's an old.
So what happens is, you know, people move out of their houses, like your parents, and we don't know what to do with this TV. Okay, I'll take it and I'll find something for it, you know, kind of thing. So that kind of thing happened a couple of times. So I ended up with like, we got like two extra TVs. But now we're down to just one extra TV. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what to do with it, right? It's kind of been just, it's actually been in front. We have a fireplace in that music room, and it was just sitting there in front of the fireplace. So
so you can watch the Yule log on the
TV. It's just off. It wasn't plugged in or anything like that. It was just sitting there. Like, I don't know what to do with that yet. So then my in-laws, their TV, they watch TV all the time. It's on all the time, right? They get up at like the crack of dawn. They turn on that TV. It's on until they go to bed at like 11 o'clock at night. It's on forever. Their TV catches on fire. Literally.
Catches on fire.
It was an old TV. Like, it was from 2004. It was one of the very first flat screen TVs. It's done. It's toast. I'm like, that's perfect. Great. Awesome. I have a TV for you. Don't buy another TV. I'll send you this. So we take this old TV from 2007. It's an upgrade to them, right? It's like 3 years younger or whatever. And we deliver to them. They're all happy. It's a bigger TV. Great. And then we decide to do that thing with the Wii and the Xbox 360. And I'm out my extra TV. So what I actually have the Wii and Xbox 360 hooked up to is an old Sony Trinitron, like, tube TV that I was actually planning on getting rid of. I actually put it in the, before we moved, I didn't want to move it here to Sudbury. So I put it like on Facebook Marketplace, like, take this thing for free. And there was a couple of people that were interested, but, you know, they couldn't get to my house in time. I was like, I screw this. I guess I am moving this TV. So we brought it here, and it sat in the garage for, I don't know. Well, since we moved here in October, it's been sitting in the garage. So just the other day, we brought it in. I got to tell you, I never hooked up the Wii to a standard def TV before, but I think that's what they're designed for, because the Wii looked actually pretty good.
Lot of those Wii games were like 4x3.
Yeah. And it looks good, because you don't have that. Like, when you stretch the image out, you got like those jaggy lines and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you don't notice them as much on a standard def TV. So we were playing like Wii Sports Resort. I was playing Punch Out on there, and some Hot Wheels racing game. But yeah, they actually look pretty good. They look good on there.
There you go.
Saw says the Wii is just a GameCube, but it's got motion controls, so it's a GameCube with motion controls.
It's calorie burning GameCube.
Yeah. So there you go. Okay, look at that. We reached an hour and a half. just on my stupid dumb stuff. Okay. Thanks everybody for watching and listening. We had a bunch of people in the chat, Rocket Stars. We had Planet of the Tapes stop by. Melissa stopped by. Sarah stopped
by. Melissa was there, yes.
And Sarah, that was it. That's all we had. That was good enough. That was good. Good.
That's all we need.
Yep.
Just enough to bounce ideas off of.
Yep. All right. Well, I guess we'll do it again in 2 weeks, if I remember.
Indeed.
I should. I'm not as distracted anymore, so I should be able to remember.
2 weeks. What is 2 weeks? Hang on.
Well, then people don't need to hear that.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.